Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, October the 18th. A very pretty day here in the Dallas area. I mean, it's just absolutely beautiful. I think they call these things Chamber of Commerce days, but I mean, it was just absolutely lovely. The temperatures got into the 70s in the afternoon, and this morning when we woke up, it was like 56, 57. Man, I think autumn must be here. I think this must be October, or at least, I guess it is. It is the middle of October, of a year that is flying by so fast. I mean, we are now, I was calculating this, and I think my calculation is right. We are now closer to 2022 than we are to July the 4th, because 2022 is roughly 2 months, 13 days away, and July the 4th is 3 months away. So isn't that amazing? We're now closer to the end of the year, the beginning of the new year, than we were to, or we are to July the 4th. So I like to do calculations like that. It's kind of fun. It kind of gives you a perspective of where you are in the year that you are in. Well, I was going to talk today about the Virginia election, and I will, and also a little bit about where is the Secretary of Transportation. He seems to be missing in action. I have no idea why he is, frankly, I don't even know why he still has the job. But I want to begin with something we learned this morning, very early in the morning. I was just kind of going through my news notifications and so on my iPhone, and I saw the news that former Secretary of State Colin Powell, General Colin Powell, a man who I think distinguished himself a great deal in the military and so on, he passed away this morning. He was 84. General Powell was born in New York City, 1937. His parents were Jamaican immigrants, and he grew up there in New York City. And from his own biography or autobiography, he said he was not a great student. So he kind of went in the U.S. Army, I guess, maybe in the late 50s or something. He went in the U.S. Army, eventually ended up in Vietnam, where he was wounded twice. And then, decided to stay in the military and, began a career in the military that eventually took him to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I guess he must have been the number one guy at the U.S. Army. And that's how he got to be chairman of the Joint Chiefs. I think that's the story. And somewhere along the way, President Reagan met him or came into contact with him and was very impressed with Colin Powell and made him National Security Advisor. And then eventually, of course, he was very much in the Reagan administration. Later, he was the top military man during the first Iraq War, the Gulf War. And that's how I think most of the country got to know him, through that. And then when Bill Clinton was president, he was the Joint Chief, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And then in 1996, he had a great opportunity to run for president. I mean, I think the table was set for him to run for president, and he decided not to run. I think by that time he had already resigned from the military. I'm sure he had. And he decided not to run, and we learned later that his wife didn't want him to run, that it was kind of a personal decision. His wife apparently didn't want to go through the rigors of the campaign and all of that. So he stayed out of politics. He didn't run for president. I think had he run for president in 1996, I'm pretty sure that he would have won the nomination, and I'm pretty sure that he would have beaten Bill Clinton in 1996, because who knows, Perot maybe would have decided not to run for another term in 96, and who knows, but I think he had a pretty good shot at beating Bill Clinton, but he didn't, you know, he stayed out of politics. And then when the second Bush was elected in 2000, he became Secretary of State, and he was a big part, of course, of the Iraq War story. And then he did not run, or he did not want to be Secretary of State for the second time. And then he kind of went off, and this is where I think he probably lost a lot of Republicans in this time frame. He supported Barack Obama for president in 2008, a decision that I think many of us never understood. And, well, that was pretty much it. After that, he sort of hung around the media and all of that. But he was not that visible, really, over the last 10 years or so that I can recall. And I had no idea he was in the hospital. When I got the news of his passing, I had no idea that he was in the hospital. So he passed away. He did not, as I understand, he did not technically die of COVID. There were some other problems with him, some other issues that came up. But he passed away, and we remember him today as a great American. And when I look at Colin Powell, when I look at Colin Powell's life, one thing comes immediately at me, and that is he's the American dream in many ways, Colin Powell. And people who say that we have a systemic racist country, Colin Powell contradicts all of that. Because here's a man born, and, you know, he was not exactly born with a fancy name or a fancy family. This is a man who made it all by himself, by developing himself and by proving he was the best at what he did. And he made it because of his abilities, and he got to be Secretary of State. That's an incredible story, for a young black man who was born in New York City. And I think that he was, to me, he was always a great role model. Just like Clarence Thomas, just as Clarence Thomas is a great role model. And I just, you know, I think he made a great contribution to the country, and we will remember Colin Powell for who he was, a great soldier and a great, you know, a great person. So I know some Republicans didn't like him, and I understand that. But I think when you look at the whole package, this is a great man, and that's how I remember him. As a great man who passed away today at age 84, had no idea that he was in the hospital when I heard about this. So my best wishes to his wife, to his family, and this is, as I said, he's a great man. That's how I remember him, as a great American. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Let's get into some of the stories that I wanted to get into. There's an election in Virginia, and to say that the Democrats are worried would be an understatement. Virginia was not supposed to be this close, but it is. It is right now a dead heat, and depending on what poll you look at, you know, one guy is up by one, the other guy is up by two. I mean, this is one of those elections that will really come down to turnout. That's what will decide this election, who turns out. I don't have any of those figures. I don't know where anybody could get those figures. I understand that early voting is going very heavy, and there are some ideas that early voting could be helping the Republicans, but I don't know. I don't know, because there's a big Democrat body of voters in the northern part of Virginia, closer to D.C., a lot of them are federal workers who moved to Virginia. And they're a big, you know, that's a big pool of voters who could, you know, win it for the Democrat. But people are saying that it's not going to be that way. People are saying that the Republican is going to win. I don't know who's going to win. All I know is that it wasn't supposed to be this close. And what you're seeing in Virginia is the whole issue of critical race theory, the parents fed up with public schools. And I guarantee you that every one of those parents that you saw at those school board meetings, they are voting. And they are bringing a bunch of people with them to vote. And those mothers are going to be an amazing electoral force on election day. So if the Republican wins, Mr. Youngkins, if he wins, I think it's Youngkin, Youngkin, if he wins, and he's a businessman with no experience in politics, if he wins, I think this is going to be one big earthquake politically, because it's basically going to demonstrate to the Democrats that they're on the wrong side of many of these issues. And that's going to be the end, really, in many ways, of Biden getting anything done. Because a bunch of Democrats are going to look over their shoulder and see the 2022 election coming at them, or they're going to look ahead, I guess, and look at the election, and they're going to say, you know what, I'm not going to fool around with anything that Joe Biden is doing. I'm going to take care of my district, because if I don't take care of my district, these mothers are going to show up to vote just like they did in Virginia. Even if the Democrat wins by a small vote, the message is that President Biden is in deep trouble. Well, where is the Secretary of Transportation? The Secretary of Transportation apparently has been on some kind of paternity leave. He and his husband, yeah, this is one of those marriages between two men, and they decided to adopt a couple of kids. So the Secretary of Transportation decided to go on paternity leave. I don't have a problem with the fact that he went on paternity leave, and I don't even care that he's married to another man. Frankly, I think that's between them, and I don't really care what they do. I am a little concerned that two men would raise a child. I don't think that's a natural thing to do, but that's for another show. Right now, what matters is this is the Secretary of Transportation who's been basically sitting at home taking care of his kids since August, at a time when you have a total collapse of the supply chain in the United States, and that's having a terrible impact on inflation. You've got all those ships sitting out there in the Pacific Ocean who cannot unload in LA for a lot of different reasons. They don't have enough workers. They don't have enough truck drivers. And this is all going to lead to a situation where prices are going up. They're already going up, but they're going to go up higher. And it's going to create all kinds of inventory issues because, let's face it, many of these companies, if you order something for Christmas, you may not get it by Christmas. You may not get it, frankly, for a long time. Now, why wasn't the Secretary of Transportation on the job? That's the question I ask. And that's the question nobody's asking President Biden. It's amazing to me. First of all, he doesn't do press conferences. We know that. But nobody's asking this question. Where is the Secretary of Transportation? The media finally got to this. There was an article in Politico, the website out of Washington, and they had an article about this. And apparently they finally asked the press secretary about the Secretary of Transportation. And apparently the Secretary of Transportation came out today and did some interviews saying that all of this is actually good news, because it just shows you how the Biden economy is creating all this demand. And that's the reason why we have a supply chain problem. Well, if you believe that, then you need to get your head examined. No, it's not because of the Biden. It's not good news for President Biden that this is happening. It's quite the contrary. It's very bad news. So where is the Secretary of Transportation? Frankly, I think he should have been fired for this. I think it is insane, absolutely insane, that we have a Secretary of Transportation who disappears like this at a time when there's a big crisis in his department. Well, mandates. It looks to me like there's a lot of controversy on mandates. And I kind of like the way we do it in Texas, that we have no mandates, but if you want to wear a mask, that's okay. And if you want to get a vaccine, we encourage you to get a vaccine. But it's your decision. You decide, not the government. I like that approach a lot more. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.